Hi, I'm Kent.
And I'm Anna.
And this is Film and Family. If you are ready to take your film career to the next level without sacrificing a healthy and satisfying personal life, you're in the right place. Hit subscribe to never miss an episode.
Let's jump right in. All right, so today we want to talk about the process of becoming.
So we're jumping out of the very concrete sort of financial stuff, and we're getting back into, frankly, the stuff that's actually going to allow you to take full control over not only your film career, but your life in general, including your film career. That includes your relationships, your family, family relationships and friendships, and your own emotions. But this is probably one of the most important podcast episodes we have done to date, I think.
Yeah. And I think we'd like to start that by breaking down the model, which is something I teach to my clients. It's something that I use. It's the number one coaching tool that I use. And I just feel like everything fits into the model. It's really amazing. And it's a great process to follow. It's 5 steps, basically explains how your brain works, which is that there are circumstances that are outside of our control, and those circumstances trigger our thoughts, and our thoughts are what create our feelings, and our feelings are what drive our actions, and our actions create our results.
So Anna, one time, way long time ago, was living in Arizona, and her and another young woman who was working with her opened a fortune cookie. And the fortune cookie was feelings.
A feeling is an idea with roots.
A feeling is an idea with roots, which spawned hours of conversation and mind-blowing revelatory Google docking and I don't know what else. And then she came home and she and I had long, long discussions on this. And then Anna discovered sort of this life coaching discipline that has made the model, which she's just described, sort of core to the practice of life coaching. Not all life coaches are as causal or as focused on this model. It's actually very pretty proprietary.
Specific to the Life Coach School by Brooke Castillo.
Yes. And it's pretty mind-blowing stuff. It sounds simple, and it is simple. It is simple to understand, but it actually takes a lot of practice, a lot of practice to apply that 5-step model into your life. So you are going to hear a lot about this. You've heard references to it in previous episodes if you've joined us for previous episodes, and you will hear more about it as you continue to listen to the podcast. But I just want to emphasize how important this could be for your life to understand these basic tenets of your brain and how it works and how your subconscious and conscious minds work and inform themselves, or I guess inform each other, and how you can take control over your own beliefs and recognize the stuff that's happening that you probably didn't realize before. It's very powerful.
It really is the secret sauce behind everything. And it's changed my life for sure. It's something that I've done for years now. I've studied, and I still know that I have so much to learn, because everything that I've read since, every self-help book and even scripture and everything that I encounter that has been profound and helpful fits into this model and aligns with this model. And I've seen it work in so many people's lives to give them the results that they want, the feelings that they want, help them take actions they want to be taking, and change their mindset. So it's very, very powerful. And, you know, if you take the time to really learn it and apply it, you'll start to realize that those 5 categories, which again are circumstances, thoughts, feelings, actions, and results, everything in your life can fit into one of those, and you can start to break everything down and fit it into this very practical application.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our big hype, for it. And, hopefully we can get to a place where we can at least shed some light for this podcast episode on this. And mainly what we're focusing on is this idea of the process of becoming. And so, Anna, what do you mean by that? What are you referring to when you say like the process of becoming?
Well, I think that what's so cool about the model is that you can put anything you want in the result line. So first of all, you can use the model to analyze what's happening on default in your brain, which is very useful. That's your unintentional model. And your brain is always running models, even if you're not aware of
it. It's a subconscious thing.
Yeah. But then when you can start to recognize and bring it into your consciousness, you can decide, is this something I want to keep or not? Is it serving me?
So I think to help a little bit there, the brain is always running models. What you mean by that is that our brain has a lot of beliefs already in it, right? That we're already, mm-hmm. we filter everything through our belief system, which is sort of ingrained subconsciously. We don't even realize that when we are experiencing a circumstance, that our brain is automatically filtering through that through our subconscious so fast that sometimes we feel like the circumstance causes our feelings. Because we don't realize we're having thoughts about that circumstance. We couldn't hardly articulate it unless we really stop and kind of feel the feeling and then trace it back and say, why do I feel this? The why is a thought. And then when you can identify that thought, anyway, this is all happening very subconscious. So I think that's what you mean by the brain is always running models. That might kind of sound crazy to some new people, I think. Yeah. Like not crazy, like weird, just crazy as in like hard to understand. I just think it means that everything is being filtered through our subconscious all the time. And it's so fast that we don't even realize it.
Yeah. Basically it means that your brain is following this step-by-step process all the time, whether you know it or not. But when you can become aware of it, you can use it to create whatever results you want. So that's the beautiful thing about it is you can put whatever you want to create into a deliberate model and fill in the rest and create it. But
so you're saying that I can put, let's say, like anything in the result line. And if I work backwards and I say, okay, what action do I need to take? What feeling would fuel that action? And like what thought would generate that feeling? But then what do I do when I get to the circumstance? Can I change the circumstance?
Well, circumstances are usually things outside of your control. Sometimes you can change them. Sometimes you can't. But what I'd like to talk about today is how to get the results and how people, some common mistakes that I see people make as they're trying to get results, or common mistakes that we've made even trying to get results. You can put anything you want in the result line that has to do with you. Obviously, you can't control other people.
Like, I want the result to be that Billy loses 50 pounds.
Right.
I can't make that.
Only Billy can do that.
Yeah.
But you could put, I want to lose 50 pounds.
What if I chop Billy's arms off? He might lose 50 pounds.
Yeah, I guess he could.
If he has big arms.
Maybe stretch that, yeah.
Wow. Well, I guess we're excluding homicidal people from our podcast listening market.
So I think what's interesting is that most people want to fill the result line first. So they'll say, I want to have lots of money. Let's say your result that you want is to make 100K making a feature film. And you think, if I made that much money, then I would feel so happy. Then I would do all the things that feature filmmakers do. Then I would really be a film director. And you want that result before you want all the things that come before it. And so there is an order to this. It doesn't go backwards. You can't really depend on the result to get the feeling that you want. And we see this because people will have their circumstances change all the time and they bring their brains with them. And so a lot of people, when they start out pretty poor and then they end up making a lot of money, will find sort of this shocking revelation that life is still hard and they still feel all these negative emotions. And they really thought that making money would make them happy, and it doesn't. And I think we all experience that to some degree. I think, you know, when I married you, I thought if I was just married to Kent, I would be happy all the time. And
it turns out it wasn't true.
Something external cannot make me happy, even though I am very happy about my decision.
Yeah. Even though I am the perfect husband, I can't make her feel happy all the time. So, yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. And well, I guess that joke is just to say that it has nothing to do with how perfect or imperfect or what scale out of 1 to 10 your spouse, whatever, you know, arbitrarily is ranked in your mind, or how perfectly they do all the things you want them to do or more. The point is that, yeah, that external cannot create fulfillment. It cannot create joy, because circumstances don't create feelings.
Yeah, the thoughts do. And a good example to illustrate this is just like if somebody that you love, let's say your grandma passed away. And as soon as they pass away, if that circumstance were able to create emotion in you, you would immediately feel sad before you were even told that your grandma had passed away. But in reality, you don't have any feelings until you're able to have a thought about it.
And you're not able to have a thought about it until you know that that's the case.
Exactly. So someone tells you, and then you have a thought about it.
And bringing this to movies, there's a great movie that is a perfect example of this. I love it. Love it. There's okay. two movies, and actually they're both endings. The ending of the movie, Christmas in July. It's an old black and white film about these guys that submit. Oh, man. I haven't seen this movie in like, well, like 7 or 8 or 9 years. And they basically win a ton of money. They go crazy hog wild. And then this company realizes that it was all a mistake, that the slogan that they had chosen was wrong. And they have to try and get these guys, this couple that is just blowing this money, get all the money back. And they kind of, by the end of the movie, everything's over. They've taken the money back from these guys. And this couple is just like totally bummed. And as they're going down the elevator, the head marketing guy comes and says, "We finally selected a winner." And he says, "Oh, you know," the president of the company or whoever it was says, "Okay, well, read me the slogan." And he reads back the exact slogan that was submitted by the people that they had just taken all the money from, that they'd been struggling with this entire movie to get the money back from. And so anyway, it's just like this really funny ending that they ended up actually like this committee selected the exact couple that had accidentally been notified that they won, but then they actually won. And the last shot of the film is this couple super depressed going down the elevator, all sad because none of this stuff really panned out the way that they had thought it was, which is like supremely disappointing for them. So they're there feeling sad, but what is the circumstance? They won like, I don't know, $1 million or something, and they were super rich. But because they were thinking that they weren't, they felt sad. The circumstance was that they were rich, but their thoughts were, we had this really great thing and now it's gone.
And before that, they were feeling like they were super rich because they thought they were.
But they actually weren't yet. Yeah, exactly. Same with the Children of Heaven, a Majid Majidi film out of Iran, late 90s. Super good. That's a great little film. Read Roger Ebert's review if you're not sold on it by my review. Same thing. This thing that he's been trying to accomplish, actually, he gets it. I won't try and give away too much. But he doesn't know it. And he's sitting there depressed with his feet in the pool being kissed by a little fish. I'm not sure why that's the last shot of the film, but there's a little fish in the pool. And he's like totally depressed and he doesn't know that there's this really great thing coming his way. And I actually really like that dramatic irony that the film ends with. But I just throw in that little movie reference to illustrate that, I mean, that's real. It makes it very understandable that our thoughts are more powerful than our circumstances. And no matter what is actually happening, what we believe about it is what actually creates what we believe about it, or in other words, what we think about it, is what actually creates our feelings.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could talk about the model all day, and maybe I should have done an episode just on that before trying to jump to some extension of it. But something that's been really exciting for me is just seeing that last line of the model start to lock in the results. And I think it's something that I was able to step by step figure out how to fill in each line of the model and create each line of the model in my own life. And now all of this work that I've been doing for a long time is all starting to really pay off and come through. And so it's really exciting. It's really boosted my confidence in the results I'm able to get from my clients, because I can boil it down to a little more of a process that I have actually done time and time again and can understand and explain better.
And I don't want to get nitpicky on verbiage, Anna, but
yeah.
But I think what you mean by results you're able to get for your clients is results you're able to lead your clients to, which is just a way of helping your clients get those results for themselves, because that's really what the model is all about. That's really what it's all about, because it enables you to take full responsibility over your life. And it also enables you to have all the feelings you want before you have those results, which is something I think you're going to get to, a prerequisite, in fact, to getting those results. And that is very hard for a lot of people to swallow, that you only want things because you want a feeling that you believe that thing will give you. And until you can get the feeling that you believe that thing will give you, you can't get that thing.
Yeah, and it has to be unconditional. You have to be able to get that feeling regardless of your conditions changing or whatever they are. And that's kind of the first achievement on your way towards getting those results.
We've talked about this. Andy Warhol was the one who said, as soon as you stop wanting something, you get it. And it's that idea of not making your joy, your happiness, your whatever that feeling is, your fulfillment, dependent upon the thing that you want. It's dependent upon the beliefs you have and the thoughts you think. And you can take immediate control over your thoughts, which means you have immediate access to the feelings you need to generate the actions and results that you want in your life.
So I think immediately, usually when we're trying to change things, we'll try to change the external circumstances that we are attributing to our experience, our current experience. And that can be, you know, in some very rare cases, that's fine. And that will solve the problem and be easier than doing this work. But in most cases, that's going to be the harder way to do it. It's sometimes completely impossible to do it. Some circumstances are outside of our control. And trying to get that result first, it's just not going to last. Like, it's not sustainable because you don't know how to get it, if that makes sense. Like, you didn't earn it. You didn't do all the steps leading up to it. And so even if someone were to gift you this result,
this dream,
yeah, it's like not repeatable. You know, if you were to win the lottery, great, but I would way rather earn a bunch of money than win the lottery, even though it's going to be way more work to learn how to earn it. It's repeatable because now I know how to do it. Whereas winning the lottery is like a one-time thing and you can't repeat it, really.
Exactly. And what most people find, Tony Robbins talks about this a lot. Have you ever achieved something or reached a goal or whatever and found that the joy you feel is really short-lived?
Fleeting, yeah.
It's very fast. Like, you bought a house and you're super happy about it, and then really quickly your attention shifts to all the things you don't like about the house and how you need a bigger house or a nicer house or whatever. Like, circumstance will never be enough for you because you haven't learned to think the way you need to feel the way you want to. The house can't make you feel the way you want to. And so you're so excited for just a little bit because you believed this whole time that that house would make you happy. And since you believed it so much, it does make you feel happy, but only for a little while.
You feel happy, but you allow yourself to feel happy.
But the belief that it would make you feel happy only serves you for a few days or something. And then you kind of get fizzled out. Money, even like, I would just wish this person would love me. In Anna's case, I really wanted to marry Anna too, by the way. I don't want to paint a false picture here. But she gave the example of like, and I think a lot of us do this in romance. Oh, this person loves me back and kisses me back and marries me back, then I'll be happy forever. Well, there's potential to create a very happy life with that person. And there's nothing wrong with feeling negative emotion. We'll get into that later. But they won't make you feel happy forever because they can't make you feel. And so that also will only last so long.
So I think it's important to clarify the difference between a circumstance and a thought, the facts versus the thought. So circumstance is a fact. It's something that everyone would agree on. Facts are neutral. They could be proven in a court of law. I don't know if we're going to get through this whole process in this episode.
And that's okay.
That's okay. We'll introduce you to the model and this process of becoming, at least. So first, being able to separate those two. And this can be very hard to do because most of the time we think we're observing facts, but in reality we're having thoughts, but we think, oh, I'm just noticing that everyone is angry right now. I'm just noticing that I'm really overweight, for example. I'm just throwing something out there. So the fact in that sort of a situation would be a number of pounds on the scale. That's everyone factual. Could agree on that. You could prove that in court. That's kind of a solid neutral fact.
Yeah. But is overweight a fact?
No. So any like words around it, verbiage around it that's subjective that someone else might think differently is not a fact.
They're angry at me isn't a fact?
No.
But what if they're feeling anger?
Yeah, you can't prove it in a court of law.
So what would be the fact in that situation, or what could be?
Well, there's probably some sort of trigger. Or maybe the words that they say, you could say.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Like, they said, I'm angry at you. You can prove that, but you can't prove that they're actually feeling anger. They could be lying.
Exactly.
They could be misinterpreting their own feelings. Or they could be angry, but it doesn't matter. It's nothing we can know. But we can know the words they said. That could be proven.
So that's the first thing to start to notice. And something I recommend is an exercise called the thought download, where you basically, especially if you're having negative emotion around something or you're trying to work on some area of your life, is just to take a few minutes and write down, or you can talk to somebody, but you have to get it out of your head and somewhere where you can look at it. So I recommend writing it down on paper. Write down all your thoughts about what's going on, why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And then you can start to look at what are the facts and what are the thoughts. And when I do this exercise with my clients, without fail, there's usually just a few facts and most of it is thoughts.
It's
pretty eye-opening.
Yeah.
To realize that all of the thoughts are optional and the facts are neutral. They don't cause any emotion by themselves. And that's really good to know because you're free to choose how you want to respond to those facts. And what kind of emotions those create for you could either serve you or not.
And this is not necessarily stoicism. The goal is not, I suppose it could be your goal,
but
it's not to reduce or eliminate all of your negative feelings and live this sort of nirvana-ish life. It's really an embracing of the fact that there's going to be positive and negative emotions all the time. And that's just okay. The goal is not to get rid of all negative emotion. The goal is to take full responsibility for those things. So you might have a circumstance that you genuinely choose to feel negative emotion about. You want to feel sadness when someone dies. You want to feel hurt maybe when someone, cheats on you or whatever. And you can just say, but you don't have to turn it into self-victimization. You don't have to turn it into hate or blame. You can just choose to turn it into sadness or mourning or even a little bit of hurt sometimes and just take ownership of it. It's empowering that even though you have to go through suffering in this life to say, these feelings are mine. They're my own. That's what do I do with the mad that I feel, right? By Fred Rogers. Welcome back to the Fred Rogers fan club show. He says at the end of that song, what a good feeling to feel like this and know that the feeling is really mine. That is a good feeling. Even if it's a bad feeling, it's a good feeling because it's yours. You chose it. And
you get to experience the full spectrum of human emotion.
And own it. You can kind of own your life experience at that point. And that is really healthy. It builds a lot of self-respect and I think it's empowering.
And it doesn't mean that you don't experience emotions, like you said, or that you can even prevent feeling emotions. It just means that you can, don't have to get stuck in them. You don't have to stay there, especially if it's an emotion you don't want to keep, which sometimes you're right. You're going to want to keep the negative emotions either because you want to keep the belief, like you want to be sad, or you want to keep that belief, even though it creates a negative emotion for you, it still could create a positive result. Even those terms, negative and positive, are subjective. Those are thoughts, right?
Right.
And you also might want growth because discomfort is the price of growth. And any emotion that you're not used to feeling is going to be uncomfortable at first until it becomes comfortable. And even positive emotions, which is kind of a crazy thing. But we're kind of used to feeling the same emotions all the time. And so when we start to expand and change what our life feels like, there's going to be some discomfort there.
Yeah. And I think that often when we think about these things, I find that a lot of people are like, oh, I know a teenager that really needs this. And however, I think that it's really valuable for adults, because adults are the ones whose brains are fully developed and whose subconsciouses are kind of like, a lot of their beliefs are locked in. And so what Anna has been explaining is really this key to, I've heard a lot of my Christian friends talk about unpacking your beliefs as an adult. Now you're fully developed and you kind of go, okay, I'm going to unpack all of my beliefs and say, I'm going to pick and choose which ones I want to keep now that I'm a fully grown adult and I have to like make these decisions for myself and define my own life for myself. That's kind of what you're doing. You're unpacking all your beliefs and you're saying, all right, these are the tools that we're giving you to kind of just dissect the whole thing. Which when you're a developing human being, you're still in that process of adopting it all. So Anna, I want to talk or lead the discussion a little more toward the action line. I think a lot of people realize that actions, you know, there's a lot of doers out there, and that can be a really helpful paradigm. But I think a lot of people set their minds on the do. And they say, I'm going to create results by doing. And didn't you just explain that the action line is the one that precedes the results, right? Actions create results. And so what might be a problem with that paradigm of just saying, I'm going to go do things because I'm a doer?
Well, yeah, you could do the exact same thing that someone else does and not get the same result.
Wait. You can... Because if the action line determines the result, shouldn't the same action in that line create the same result for anybody?
Of course not. Because if you're taking that action from a different emotion, it's going to feel totally different. You know, if you're taking that action from a place of anger or scarcity or fear, you're going to show up completely different than if you're coming from confidence or abundance or fun, you know?
And I guess in case we're still laboring under this paradigm that might be tempting, that sounds a little hocus pocusy. It really isn't. It's actually pretty intuitively real. I've definitely been in pitches. I've been in sales situations. I've been in various places where I'm trying to, you know, accomplish something where one day I show up and I do something, and the next day I show up, and I'm doing essentially the same thing. I'm saying most of the same words. I'm doing most of the same stuff, but I'm coming from a totally different place emotionally. And remember, those emotions come from my beliefs about the circumstances and the people around me and the thing that I'm doing. My beliefs around all of that are what generate my attitudes and my feelings. And so, yeah, that is really true. So if that isn't a surefire way of getting things to work, if all these actionable strategies and tactics aren't a guarantee of result, is there a guarantee for results? How do we create those results for ourselves?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is most people do want to look for actions. We start to realize the action comes before the result. And so we try to take a shortcut and say, oh, if I can do the right action, then I can get the result. Most of the time, it actually doesn't really matter what action you take. You can kind of choose how you want to do it. There's many ways to get the result that you want. But what does matter is the belief behind it, because once you get familiar with the model, you start to see that your thought and your result are always the same. Like, it always reflects one or the other, or the result becomes evidence of the thought.
So I want to go back and ask.
I'm sorry.
So I want to go back and ask, why did you use that word shortcut? You said, oh, they see action and they want to take a shortcut and say, I'm just going to do the right things. Why is that a shortcut?
Well, because this process, there is an order to it. So it's always first your belief and then a feeling and then an action and then a result. And so even if you're taking action, but you're doing it from a place of, I have to do this to get the result that I want, and you're feeling compelled or whatever. I don't know what you're feeling. That's going to produce a specific kind of result. But if you're doing it from a place of like, oh, this will be fun, I want to try this out, and maybe you're feeling curious, that's going to produce a different result. I feel like it would help if we had a concrete example.
Well, and here, I would love that. Yeah, I was just going to ask you to paint an example or something. What you said, basically that you could be doing the same action and getting different results. Oh, no. What you, and then you explained that the thought and the result line are always the same. I'd love to see a positive and negative example of that, because I think that's really, really revelatory. Maybe we can think of one from our own life or an example that we've seen.
Let me just take a one that just popped into my head, which you might be having right now about this model. Like, we introduced the model and you're going to have a thought about it. You might think, this makes sense. I think this probably works.
Getting meta.
And if you think it probably works, then you're going to feel inspired and maybe you're going to take the action of trying it out. And then you're going to see in your result line, this works.
Like, yeah, it starts to work for you.
But let's say you're listening and you're thinking, well, this sounds crazy. I don't think it's going to work.
This isn't going to serve me, or this isn't going to help me.
Yeah. So you think, I don't think it's going to work. And then you feel, I don't know,
dismissive or uninspired or whatever.
And then when you're feeling dismissive, you don't go to work.
Yeah. The action is that you don't explore it or put it into practice.
And so then you can see in your result line that it doesn't work for you and you don't work for it.
Yeah. It doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. And that is why cameras don't matter. People all day long on the internet debate about cameras. Guess what? I've seen some stunning cinematography on the Canon 5D Mark II, like the early of early little DSLR revolution cameras. I've seen some people do some beautiful creative work with that thing. It's just a tool. It captures images. It records images. It doesn't capture images. Cinematographers capture images. The ones that believed that that was a tool that would be capable of helping them get what they wanted made it that, because they believed it. They felt like that was all they needed. And then they got to work. They started to create things. They started to push themselves creatively and they created beautiful images. That was their result. Their result was that they had excellent, beautiful, well-composed, beautifully lit images, at least for what they thought. And frankly, I thought, other people don't believe in such and such a camera. And they say, oh, it's such a bad camera, right? It's so subjective. It's such a thought, right? It's not a fact. Any camera could be a tool that you could use. And so they go in and usually they don't even use it, or they don't like using it. And once again, I've seen people get excellent images out of the Blackmagic ecosystem. I personally despise the Blackmagic ecosystem, but I have to admit, in all humility, that there are some really remarkable cinematographers who've shot excellent work on a variety of different Blackmagic cameras and somehow haven't had the experience that I've had where their footage gets corrupted and they've used the same camera for years and they've never had any technical hiccups or problems or whatever. And so the point is, the circumstance is different. The camera is what it is.
Yeah.
But your thought can be whatever you want about it. And that thought is what determines that result. So,
well, and we're not robots. If it were really so simple that you could just, you know, buy a certain camera or follow a specific program that promises actionable strategies and it worked for every single person, then yeah, like the world would be a lot simpler, I guess. But there's a reason why those things usually don't work for everybody.
And that's why I think the model is more powerful than an actionable strategy, because it's a principle-based paradigm through which you can filter any circumstance. And that's important because the most powerful things, the most powerful books, the most powerful speeches, literature that have changed the world and that have lived on generation after generation, those are things that are principle-based, which means that it takes work on the person applying them to apply them. It takes work for you to translate that into your own life and translate your own life through that lens. And it's not easy. It's not a simple plug and play. Whereas these plug and play action-based solutions, they only last for a certain amount of time until the circumstances start to all change. They quickly become outdated because those actions no longer work in the way the circumstances have changed. And so it only works in a very specific set of circumstances, or it only works with a certain attitude or whatever. And then quickly it becomes outdated because people realize it's not good theory. It's not principle-based. It doesn't work all the time in any circumstance. And so it eventually fizzles away. And so it's some of the best free investing you can do in yourself is taking the time to master these tools and learn to start generating your own thoughts. And when you can actually start to choose your thoughts about your circumstances, that's when you have the power to create the results you want in your life.
Exactly. And you know, I went through a training to become certified as a coach that was really rigorous. And at least through this training, through the life coach school, there's other life coaches that have other strategies. But in my training using the model, we don't tell our clients what to do ever. And sometimes they want us to tell them what to do, but
yeah,
and I don't even tell them what to believe. Although I might sometimes offer a thought. The thoughts that work for me, the beliefs that work for me might not work for you. And that's why it's so powerful to have a coach who's trained in how to help you find your own wisdom that adapts to your own circumstances, that you believe that creates the results that you want, which are going to be completely unique for you. And it's different for everybody. There's not a one size fits all. But the process and the principles do work. And, you know, by asking the right questions and knowing how to guide you through that process, you can figure it out for yourself and eventually become independent enough to coach yourself and not need as much outside help from a coach at all.
So I want to go back to our last episode about how to get your film financed. As an example for the things we're explaining in this episode about creating your own results. So for example, there was a lot that we did to prepare for the film that we're producing right now. And there were a lot of potential thoughts we could have. For example, we hired Buffalo 8 to help us prep and pitch the film. And Buffalo 8 makes a lot of promises. They don't overpromise, in my opinion, but they're very clear that it's not necessarily their job to finance your film. That's your job. But they're going to help you. And I went in with the attitude. I could have gone in with the attitude of, I'm going to pay these guys and they're going to get my film financed. And then I could have generated a lot of anger because if it got to a certain point a few months down the line that I'm like, why isn't my movie funded? You know, then I'm going to start to think all these things about they should have funded it by now, or this is their job or whatever. And those thoughts are going to generate a lot of anger for me and it's not actually going to get my movie financed. But I think that what we all went in doing was realizing that these were people that knew what they were doing. They had a lot of knowledge and we wanted that knowledge too. And so we said, this is something that we are going to take full responsibility over getting our film financed, which was something that, frankly, our guy at Buffalo 8 was really good at explaining to us that it's really a team thing and a lot of it depends on us. But our film, several months in, wasn't financed yet. And I never chose to have the thought that somehow this isn't working or somehow this wasn't worth it, because those thoughts are only going to lead to results of it not working and it not being worth it. My thought was, I'm learning a ton. I was learning, and I am learning a ton, and that knowledge is worth it. And why? Because I believe that knowledge will actually create the results that I want, the movie getting funded. And so I really do feel like that belief about those circumstances, which is the film isn't funded yet. I can choose to believe whatever I want about that. But actually, I think I have a really healthy mindset around that because, first of all, I have full confidence that it's going to get funded. And we haven't stopped moving toward it. We've gotten some investors on board. We've improved the movie and further prepared it. We've taken other strategic decisions toward getting the movie funded, including developing some smaller projects to try and move connections, get experience, learn, whatever. But it's just this process that we're taking it a step at a time, but we're not going to let it sort of the circumstances dictate our life for us, our emotions, our thoughts, our beliefs, and our results. Circumstances can be what they will, but we can still generate those results actively by choosing what we believe about it. Maybe that wasn't as firm or concrete of an example as I was hoping, but hopefully it illustrates the kind of power that this can have in your film career. And this definitely applies to your marital or parental relationships and beyond. So
yeah, exactly. So this, you know, and don't worry if you're not following all of this. We're going to keep bringing it up. We're going to keep going into it, and you'll start to catch on. Again, there's other ways you can go deeper on it that we'll mention at the end of the podcast. I don't know if there's any last thoughts you want to.
Well, the last thought I would have is I would love to know your thoughts on this episode. Let us know if it was confusing. That's a good thought.
Yeah, and what questions you still have.
Yes, I really do believe that if you think about this model and dig around in it for a while and see what pops up and go, yeah, well, look for exceptions. If you think you have an exception, hit us up, email us and say, well, what about this? Films@invisiblemansion.com and ask us, say, yeah, well, what about this? Or wouldn't this be a fact? Or wouldn't this result not come from this or that? Or wouldn't an action create my results or whatever? You know, specific examples are great. And so hit us up. And if you want to really delve deeper, check out the Film and Family program. That is really where you're going to dive in and master these tools. That is the fastest way to completely take ownership and master the model, master these tools, and start generating the results that you want in your life. And this will not just create immediate results that you're thinking of right now. It will change the framework through which you approach your whole career and relationships and everything. If that doesn't sound too big, I don't know what does.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us today. If you like the things that you're learning, hopefully they were clear, as Kent said. If not, it's probably our fault. It's the knowledge effect where once you know something, it's hard to recognize what other people don't know. And so I'm sure we're missing some gaps we could fill in here. But if you like where it's going and what you're learning, the best compliment you can give us is always a referral or a 5-star review. And if you do want to take the tools you're learning here even deeper, just like Kent said, the perfect way to do this is by joining the Film and Family program. And this program really is kind of the epitome of everything that I've learned going through coach training and coaching different people on this journey. And it will help you apply those things to you specifically. The process that I teach is simple, proven, and has worked for thousands of people. It will work for you, just like we've explained with this model. No matter what your goals are, you can put anything in the result line. And it's backed by a money-back guarantee so that it's risk-free. You'll either get the results you want or you'll get your money back. Once you pay, it's a one-time payment. You're in for life. So it's a great deal, great community to get involved in. Some of the feedback that we've gotten has been, you know, one of my recent clients said this was the most life-changing thing that's happened to him in the last 5, maybe 10 years of his life. And I definitely feel the same way. So I'm just thrilled to share these tools and see them work for other people as well as me. And so anyway, you can check that out by visiting invisiblemansion.com or clicking the link in the show notes. And otherwise, we'll see you next time on the podcast.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.